for bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Prosecuting attorneys in San Francisco are challenging the credibility of the affidavit submitted to the court Tuesday by Patricia Hearst. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The prosecutors have done so by releasing selective portions of a conversation recorded between Hearst and a childhood friend. It was taped in Hearst's Redwood City jail Sunday. To the friend, Hearst describes herself as a revolutionary feminist, says her current political views will make her defense difficult, and that she's concerned about the possibility of becoming a virtual prisoner in her parents' home, were she freed on bail. Through the transcript, the prosecution is said to be challenging Hearst's contention that she was an unwilling accomplice of her SLA captors. Also, the prosecutors are apparently trying to lend weight to their contention she would jump bail if released. Patricia had more visitors Thursday at San Mateo County Jail, her parents, and Mrs. Hearst was clearly upset. Harold Dow reports.
Randolph and Catherine Hearst arrived at the San Mateo County Jail to visit their daughter. When they pulled up and parked their car, they were met by a group of reporters and cameramen. When the lights came on, Mrs. Hearst sounded upset. She was heard to call the reporters and cameramen, quote, a bunch of ghouls, unquote, as she pushed her way forward. She gave no reason for the comment, and when asked why she was upset, she just walked away. Randolph Hearst was asked to comment on recent transcripts of the conversation that Patricia Hearst had with her longtime friend. He said he did not want to talk at this time, but indicated he would after his visit with Patricia. The visit lasted about a half an hour. On the way out, neither parent had anything to say. They just got into their car and left. Harold Dow, CBS News at the San Mateo County Jail.
More news after this message.
When the leaves come off, put the collar on. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Your dog can get ticks anytime, so keep a Hearts two-in-one collar on year-round. For every tick it kills now, up to 2,000 ticks won't be born this spring. To really kill ticks and fleas, the Hearts two-in-one collar is always in season.
When the leaves come off, put the collar on. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
50 years ago, in 1925, Pittsburgh took the World Series pennant away from Washington. Jack Dempsey was the king of the ring, and Flying Ebony won the coveted Kentucky Derby trophy. And 50 years ago today, a winner of a radio station went on the air in Shreveport, Louisiana, KWKH. And now, as the Friendly Giant celebrates its golden anniversary, 50 years of broadcasting in Shreveport, this is Phil Rizzuto speaking for my colleagues and saying best wishes from all of us at the CBS Radio Network.
The Congress and the administration are in deadlock over the Sinai Accords. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee is demanding the State Department make public all commitments made by the United States to Israel and Egypt in reaching the interim peace agreement. Secretary Kissinger refuses to release anything but a summary of those documents. But many committee members insist on nothing less than full publication before they'll approve the dispatch of Americans to Sinai. They threatened to release the documents themselves. One of them, Senator Frank Church, told newsmen after meeting with Kissinger.
We will continue to work with the secretary in the hope that we can find a satisfactory means for achieving a full disclosure of all American obligations that are related to the sending of these technicians to Sinai.
The Church faction and Kissinger reported still far apart. Another committee, the House Panel on Intelligence, is joining battle against the administration. Chairman Otis Pike asserts he'll ask the full House to cite unnamed members of the executive branch for contempt unless they stop withholding classified information the committee wants. Democratic Governor Marvin Mandel of Maryland reveals he's been formally notified he's under investigation by federal investigators in a continuation of the probe that forced the retirement of former Vice President Agnew, Mandel's Republican predecessor. Focus of the current investigation is whether Mandel and two associates profited illegally from state business. Now this.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion. Internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take Sinoff tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sinoff Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sinoff. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sinoff.
A sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff tablets.
Exactly. Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
The New York Times reports the existence of a federal study which has convinced some officials that 100 banks would find themselves in serious financial trouble were New York City to default on its obligations. The banks involved hold large quantities of New York City bonds and notes. New York securities constitute at least half of the total securities held by 60 of the banks. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, curator of this curious collection of the mysterious and the macabre. We are told that the Lord created man in his own image. Therefore, it must follow that each of us is an image of the Lord. And since we are so various, so different in shape and size and color, you would think it presumptuous for any one person to say, "Behold, what I look like is the only true image of the Lord." And yet, so many people do that very thing.
Who is that man, Ben?
Him? Oh, he's just one of my slaves, my house boys.
What a remarkable person.
Remarkable? How? Just an ordinary, no-account, shiftless...
No, don't say that.
Well, but it's true.
I see a grandeur, a nobility.
Ah, you northern abolitionists. You keep seeing things that simply do not exist.
I tell you, that young man will move mountains.
Hey, Bob, you sure you ain't sick? It's all that boy can do to move his own 2 feet.
He will move mountains. That slave of yours has the power inside of him. The awful power. Ben, I can sense these things.
Our mystery drama, The Black Whale, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Brock Peters. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person.
Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre. With my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then. Because I love to hear people say, "My, he certainly has his son's Buick."
Buick. dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
When it leaves, well, I want to do one thing.
James Harris's ambition is to leave his children a family home. He's going to do it because he and others in Scott, Arkansas, have started a housing cooperative with a grant from the Campaign for Human Development.
I mean, I leave him no money, but I can leave him something they can lay their hands, say that it's mine.
The Campaign for Human Development, the United States Catholic Conference.
Army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's Army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who've joined the Army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who've joined the Army. You could go a long, long way.
For information, call 800-523-5000 toll free. Join the people who've joined the Army.
Are created equal. However, some people have always considered themselves more equal than others. When our great republic was founded, there were some people who weren't even considered people. It had to do with the color of the skin. If yours was white, you were people. If your skin was black, you were a slave. You were nobody. Actually, a black person wasn't even considered a person, except for the purposes of government record keeping. And since a state was represented in Congress according to population, a slave was listed as 3/5 of a person. The year is 1820. We are in what is destined one day to become the state of Texas. Colonel Benjamin Borders, a wealthy farmer, is entertaining an old friend from the East. There is another person, or we should say, a non-person in the room. His name is Jim. He is one of the house slaves. And this is to be his own story.
All about me, the conversation swirled and eddied. Mr. Robert Darcy was not one of the Colonel's usual visitors. He was a man of learning and great education. How I envied him. And I stood there listening. Listening because that man spoke of such fantastic things.
The power of the mind, Ben. The power of the mind can move mountains.
Oh, really? I'd settle for a more simple kind of proof. I'd like to see somebody's mind make that wine bottle lift itself up and pour its contents into my glass.
Under proper conditions, the right kind of mind could do it.
And speaking of wine, your glass is empty. Jim!
Yes, sir.
You wool gathering again, boy?
No, sir.
Weren't you trained? You know better than to leave a man's glass stand unfilled before him.
Yes, sir.
Well, pour the wine. Is Mr. Darcy to die of a thirst in my house?
Ben, I see you've been reading the books I sent you.
No, Bob. I'm sorry to say I ain't had a chance.
Somebody must have been reading the books. The pages are cut.
Well, nobody could read them, Bob. There's just me and the slaves in the house here.
Well, do any of your slaves read?
You ain't serious, Bob. You can't be serious. How could a slave read?
If he were taught, he could learn just like anyone else. Up in New York, Boston, I've met freed slaves who could read and write.
Well, yeah. But it was a trick.
A trick?
Well, you can teach a parrot to talk, can't you? It's all a trick.
The young man who waited on us.
Oh, Jim?
He appears to be extremely intelligent.
Well, that shows you. He's the dumbest one of all. There's a boy who just can't do nothing.
His mind seems to be on something else. He's in another world, Ben. A world of his imagination.
Pure and simple wool gathering.
No. I sense something else.
There you do? What?
Power.
Power?
The power to move mountains.
You all right, Bob?
Poor boy, he's like a whale.
A whale? Now, how'd the whales ever get into this?
There are those who claim the whale is the most intelligent living creature on Earth.
You don't care who you call intelligent, do you, Bob? First blacks, and now whales.
But you see, the whale is the captive of his physiology and his environment. He has no way to express his intelligence. He has no hands, he can't build, he can't live on land. He's a prisoner of the water.
You're getting too deep for me, Bob.
I'd like to help that young man.
Help him? How?
Send him to college.
College? Bob, I believe you've gone mad. But don't worry, I'm your friend. I'll keep your secret.
And so it went. The free and easy conversation. They disagreed on everything, but never lost their tempers. Never came to blows. What a wonderful way to be able to talk, and how wonderful also to have things to talk about. Would I ever be able to talk like they did? Would I ever have anyone to talk to?
Jim?
Yes, sir?
What are you doing?
I'm supposed to cut wood for the fire.
Why do you say that, Jim?
Because Master say chop and I'm supposed...
I know you were ordered to do it, but you could just as easily say, I was supposed to cut wood for the fire. Well, Jim?
Yes, sir?
How did you learn to read? You can read, can't you, Jim? Don't be afraid of me. The Colonel has an excellent library, I know. I selected it for him. However, he has neither the time nor the inclination to read. But I know someone has been reading those books, Jim. Who? You?
Yes, sir.
I was right. I sensed it. There is something about the transference of thought. I knew you could read. Don't ask me how. It has to be miraculous. Who taught you to read?
No one.
Then how did you learn?
It came to me. The books bound in bright red, in rich brown leather. Something, I don't know what, drew me to the books. Something seemed to say to me, come, Jim. Come to the books.
What was it, a voice?
No. It was a desire. But the markings in the books were so mysterious, so hidden. Will they always be kept from me, I asked. And then I saw a picture of a pistol. And there was the marking under it. And it was suddenly revealed to me, this must be the marking. This must be the sign that signifies a pistol. Then I understood. There is a sign, a word for everything.
Jim, that's remarkable.
Is it?
It's amazing. What a fantastic accomplishment. You should be so happy.
Why?
Because you've achieved such a tremendous victory.
Have I? Or have I become a whale? Yes, I have listened to what you said about whales. What good does my learning bring me? Like the whale, I can only flounder aimlessly and endlessly, to no purpose. What can I do? Where can I go?
Jim, you come with me right now.
But Master says I suppose to chop wood.
I want to see the look on Ben Border's face. You drop that axe and come with me.
Once upon a time, the deep red berries of the mulberry tree were as white as snow. The change in color came about strangely and sadly. The death of two young lovers was the cause. Pyramus and Thisbe lived in Babylon, the city of Queen Semiramis.
Well, I'll be. Now open another book, Jim, to any page.
The Theorem of Pythagoras.
It's a trick. Open this book, Jim.
sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like the toad, ugly and venomous, wears yet a precious jewel in his head.
I still say it's a trick. That book, Jim.
All right. Now, Bob, how you doing this?
Doing what?
I seen in a theater once a fellow was able to throw his voice and make you think that someone else was speaking.
Oh, admit that you were wrong, Ben.
About what?
About a great many things.
I still say it's some kind of trick.
What are we going to do about Jim?
Do about it?
A man with his brain, can you force him to live out his life as a beast of burden?
Well, hang it, Bob. What am I supposed to do?
Sell him to me.
You mean you? A true blue dyed in the wool northern abolitionist like you? You'd own a slave? This is the time of great happiness.
I want to buy him so I can take him north and set him free.
Well, I ain't going to let you go puffing and preening among your northern friends about how to the goodness of your heart you spent $800 to give a poor black soul his freedom.
You mean you won't sell him?
No, I won't sell him.
Why not?
Because I'm an honest man. He ain't worth a nickel. His value's just gone all the way down to absolute zero.
What are you talking about?
Head so full of Pyramids and Thisbe and Pythagoras and I don't know who and what all. How's he going to chop cotton or hoe corn or wait on table? Take him for what he's worth now. Nothing.
I could hardly believe it. It was like a story in the Bible. And it came to pass. And now it had come to pass for me. I was to go north, to freedom. Freedom. Soon, that great day finally dawned, when I could leave the farm and slavery forever. And I hitched the horses to the carriage as I had done so many times before, but this time, I was going to ride in it too. And we started out for Santa Lucia, a small port on the Gulf of Mexico, where we could take a boat to New Orleans, and from thence to St. Louis, and Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia, and New York, and finally Boston. Those names, those great ringing names.
Is it much farther to Santa Lucia, Ben?
Oh, about 2 hours. Well, I guess this is goodbye. Goodbye forever.
Oh, I don't know, Ben. We could still...
Oh, it's a long, long trip. And we neither of us grown younger.
No, we're not.
I'm glad our friendship lasted, Bob. Despite everything, we remain friends. Good friends. That's why I gave you Jim. To remember me by.
Ben, what's that? That cloud of dust moving very quickly toward us.
It's men. Men on horses.
Who are they, soldiers?
No, I'm afraid they look like bandits.
Bandits?
Yeah, the country's full of them. I didn't think they'd come so close to Santa Lucia.
Well, what are we going to do?
There's not much we can do, Bob. We can't outrun them, we can't outfight them. All we can do is wait. Oh!
And we waited. And as we stood there motionless and watched the cloud of dust grow larger and heard the approaching thunder of horses' hooves, something bright and happy inside of me suddenly became dark and sad. I knew I wasn't going to be free. I wasn't going to Boston with Mr. Darcy, because Mr. Darcy had a gray look in his face, the look that people get just before they die.
The look. In the old days, they used to say a man who was about to die had a certain look on his face. It was supposed to be the soul getting ready to leave the body. The soul waiting for the moment of release. Is Mr. Darcy going to die? Why? How? And if he does, what will happen to Jim? Well, nothing will happen to anyone until I return in a few moments with Act Two.
When you shop at Tradewell, you know that they provide the best selection, the best service, and at the best possible price. Tradewell helps you stretch your food dollar without sacrificing quality. Some of the specials you'll find at your friendly Tradewell this week are new crop of Washington-grown fancy red or golden delicious apples, £4 for $1. Fresh Washington-grown cut-up fryers at 68 cents a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Cross Rib Beef Roast, $1.48 a pound. And Wesson Oil 24-ounce bottle, 82 cents. Shop Tradewell for quality and value. Remember, your friendly Tradewell is headquarters for USDA Prime Beef.
God we trust. America speaks.
In the words of John F. Kennedy, the torch has been passed to a new generation. Born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
We are in Texas, long before Texas was a state in our union, even before Texas was an independent republic. We're in the Texas that was still part of Mexico, a vast, wild country into which poured thousands of American settlers. And some of the wildness of this raw-boned country is about to erupt.
Who are they, Ben?
Well, I recognize them now. It's Zalakian and his boys. Let me do all the talking. They only want money, so just do as you're told.
El Toro!
Well, Senor Zalakian, what can I do for you?
I am not Senor Zalakian. I am now General Zalakian.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, we are revolutionists. We will overthrow the government one day. And so we would like you to contribute to the revolution.
Well, do I have a choice, you bloody scoundrel?
If you weren't such an old friend, I would cut your heart out. All your money into the hat. And your señor.
Empty your pockets, Bob.
And the watch.
The watch?
Si, señor, the watch.
But the watch, it would have very little value to you, and it has a great deal of sentimental value to me.
The watch?
Sir, let me explain. Bob, don't argue with him. Give him the watch.
But Ben, Lisa gave me this before she died.
The watch?
Let me explain to you, sir, why I
did. The watch?
No, I...
Ah! Why, you bloodthirsty animal!
Only took a second. My dream was shattered and in ruins. Mr. Darcy was dead. Colonel Borders was lying on the ground unconscious with a bullet wound. Somehow I managed to get them both into the wagon, and I turned the team around and drove slowly home. Home. I had dared to dream of becoming an eagle. But in reality, I was still a whale. Several months went by, and finally, Colonel Borders recovered from his wound. But he wasn't the same. Something seemed to have left him. He never mentioned Mr. Darcy's name until one morning.
Well, Jim.
Yes, sir?
Where'd they bury Mr. Darcy?
In Santa Lucia.
Jim, what did Mr. Darcy do to you?
Do to me, sir?
Yeah, Jim. How did he get you to read through all of the books? Well, what was the trick?
Oh, it was no trick.
Oh, I'll bet he hypnotized you.
No, sir.
I bet you don't even know what it all means.
I have read the monograph published by F.A. Mesmer, who...
That's enough.
Colonel, please. You promised Mr. Darcy you'd set me free.
I promised no such thing. I promised to sell you to him for nothing.
Well, that's the same thing.
He was my best friend. My only friend. He'd want you to be free, and I'll see that you do go free, but not now. I can't do it now.
Why?
Why? You question me? You dare question me? I'll give you your answer with a horsewhip. Jim, is it true?
Is what true?
Is it true you can read and write?
Yes.
Then you gotta help me. Now, open up that chest with my papers in it. That's it. Now you're gonna have to take care of all that, because I can't seem to concentrate. The words, numbers, they just dance on the paper. You gotta help me, Jim. You gotta help me.
It was the first time a white man had ever asked me to do something. I knew what it was to be told, but to be asked, that was something else. Something strange and new. I kept his records. I wrote his letters. And every day he became richer and richer. And every day I would ask him the same question. Colonel, when will you give me my freedom?
Freedom?
You promised me.
Yeah. Well, it's my intention to give you your freedom. It's just that the time ain't ripe. You need it here.
But, Colonel, I...
Oh, Jim, you're getting treated right.
Yes.
All you want to eat, well...
Yes.
Nice clothes. You live here in the house. You got a comfortable bed and linen, just like me. You know, Jim, you must be the only black slave in the world who sleeps with bed sheets.
But, Colonel, I...
Now, that's something, Jim. That's something.
The days went by, and I was getting no closer to freedom. The Colonel was thriving. With me to keep his records and watch his money, he was becoming wealthier by the month, and I still kept asking.
All right, Jim. I'm going to call you a bluff.
Bluff?
What do you have if I set you free? Well?
I'll have my freedom.
Well, free to do what? Starve?
No, I'll go north.
How'll you get there?
I can work my way.
You'll be kidnapped by bounty hunters.
I'll have my papers.
They'll laugh in your face and tear them up. They'll sell you as a runaway slave. And some Louisiana or Mississippi cotton planter will work you to death in his fields. Well, you still want to be free?
For the very first time, I felt fear crawling through me. What was this? Was I afraid? Afraid to be free? Well, maybe it wasn't fear. There were some very real advantages to my present condition. He was right. I had enough to eat, a comfortable home, and the work. It wasn't at all difficult, and there was a wonderful collection of books. And so I thought of the North and freedom. And it suddenly seemed so far away. And then I heard that sound. And to a slave, it's the most frightening and melancholy sound in the world. It was a coffle, a gang of slaves being marched along the road, an endless caravan which grows larger and smaller as some are bought Some are sold along the winding road of slavery that snakes through the South. I looked at the faces, the dull, staring eyes, the hopelessness, the resignation, and of course, the ugly red welts of the whip.
Well, Colonel, how are things this year?
Oh, can't really complain, Mr. McClure.
Got some prize merchandise here?
No, not this time.
Anything you want to sell?
Nothing, really.
Nothing at all?
Tell me, Mr. McClure, what's the going rate for a slave who can read and write?
You'd have to pay me to take him. Got any good field hands?
No, none to spare.
Soon they'll be worth their weight in gold. Well, Colonel, see you next time around. Luther, Tom, get him going. Everybody up. Let's go, move out.
Well, there, Jim, but for the grace, go you. All it would take to make it happen would be for you to be kidnapped by an unscrupulous bounty hunter, and there are plenty of those. Well?
But I'm not free.
Who's free? What's this freedom you talk about so much? It's the freedom to starve and to freeze. Jim, you just don't know how lucky you are.
Maybe I didn't. It was the very first time that kind of thought had ever stolen inside my head. We keep talking about being free. But if we were, where would we go? What could we do? What kind of work would I find to do? Freedom. It had always been a word that thrilled me. Now it frightened me. But one day, something frightened me even more.
Jim.
Yes, sir?
You didn't give Mr. Darcy any meat.
Mr. Darcy?
Don't stand there looking like that.
Colonel, Mr. Darcy isn't here.
What are you saying, Jim? Ain't that Mr. Darcy sitting at the table big as life?
Colonel, Mr. Darcy's dead.
You lost your mind. What little bit of mind you ever had. You lost your mind. Jim, what am I doing here in bed?
You're sick, Colonel. You fainted.
I feel hot and dizzy. I can't move my whole right side. Jim, what's the matter with me?
I looked it up in the book. You have what they call a stroke. What? Something happens to the blood. It doesn't flow freely.
Freely? What happens?
Well, sometimes you get better.
And sometimes?
You don't.
Jim, ride into Santa Lucia. Bring back the doctor.
Colonel, the doctor can't help you.
He's got to help me. He's a doctor.
I read in the books that there's nothing anyone can do.
Oh, what do you know about it?
I've read as much as any doctor, and I tell you...
Now, Jim, you go get me that doctor. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sign the paper. Paper that sets you free. Now, how's that, huh? Here, bring in some paper and a pen and ink. And while you're gone, I'll write the document. Now, you hurry, Jim. You hurry.
I galloped all the way to Santa Lucia and all the way back with the doctor. But we returned too late. He was dead. The colonel had died. And there was a sheet of paper clutched in his hand. But it was blank. Not a single word had been written in it.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're now selling the estate of our dearly beloved and recently departed friend, Colonel Benjamin Borders. And to begin with, we got us as prime a stock of living merchandise as there is in the entire state. I begin with Jim here. How old are you, boy? Cat's got his tongue. But he's a well-trained hard worker. Use him in the house, in the field. Look at them muscles. Now, will somebody open the bidding at $400?
$750.
Well, it's Mr. McClure.
Yes, sir, it is. Ain't got time to waste with nickel and dimes bidding. I know what it's worth and what I can get, and I'm a busy man.
I got $750. Do I hear another bid? Another bid. Well, then, you got yourself a bargain there, Mr. McClure.
Come on, boy.
Just down the road, I could see them. A coffle. The poor, wretched, terrified slaves in the coffle. In a few moments, I would be one of them. Yes, I had always been a slave from the moment of my birth. But this would be a kind of slavery I had never known before. This would be the naked and violent slavery I had dreamed of in my nightmares. And suddenly, I was no longer afraid of freedom. The colonel's horse, Jupiter, was standing nearby. Another piece of flesh, like me, waiting to be sold to the highest bidder. But a superb piece of flesh, the fastest in the county. Before anyone could realize what was taking place, I was on his back. Run, Jupiter! Run! Run like you never ran before! You're running for freedom!
Freedom, the magic word. But where is there to run to? The North, the friendly North, is so many thousands of miles away. And all around is dangerous country, and even more dangerous men. Freedom, it's a long way off. But the longest journey always starts with the very first determined step. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick. As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person.
Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre. With my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then. Because I love to hear people say, my, he certainly has his son's Buick.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Yes?
Lady, we picked up this guy hanging around your house.
Officer, this is ridiculous. This is my own house.
That right, lady?
The brown suit looks familiar.
Myra, this is no joke.
Any of you kids recognize this guy?
Tell the nice policeman who I am, Georgie.
I'm Jeffrey.
Okay, let's go.
But wait, I can explain. It's all a mistake.
Ever get the feeling you're not spending enough time with your family? Give them everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall.
Not too long ago, this was both the most loved and the most hated song in America. But as we began to overcome the problems this song symbolized, we realized there was still much more to overcome. Hard, concrete problems that only knowledge could resolve. Today we stand closer than ever to the answers to these problems. Close, but not close enough. Give to the college of your choice now so that our young people can make the difference between a bright tomorrow or maybe no tomorrow at all. That way, I'll bet we can overcome just about anything.
We can overcome someday.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
He's an extremely complex young man. His name is Jim. That's all. Just Jim. Black slaves had no family names. Actually, they had no family. In reality, they were nobody. They were nobody until they called attention to themselves. And they could only do that by breaking the established pattern of their lives. And Jim is doing that right now. He has just escaped.
I see nobody caught him, Sheriff.
Mr. McClure, he does have the fastest horse in all of Texas.
He's my property. I paid for him. I expect you to return him to me.
Oh, we'll get him.
Why ain't you organizing a posse to ride him down?
Well, now be reasonable, Mr. McClure. I'm going to deputize a few good trackers, and they'll manage to come up
with
him.
I want action. I'm entitled to the protection of the law. I've never seen a finer piece of flesh in all the years I've been doing business. I gotta get him back.
Freedom. This was freedom. This terrible wilderness where nothing could live. But a cruel sun priled the body by day and a cold, lifeless moon froze the blood at night. No food, no water. And one morning, Jupiter disappeared. I don't know. I awoke and my horse was gone. And I knew that I was gone, too. I was too weak to walk or even to worry. So I lay on the ground to wait for freedom. And suddenly, she was there, sitting on her horse, a woman, a white woman, pointing a rifle at me. And two men, black like me, slaves like me, were with her.
Who are you, boy? What are you doing here? Where are you bound for?
Freedom. Freedom.
What was that? What are you saying?
Let me dwell in freedom's house.
You look like a runaway to me. Mose, Henry, get him up on his feet. We'll take him home and find out who he belongs to.
Let me dwell in freedom's house and let them call me freedom's child.
All right now, that'll be enough of that.
Solitudinem fecant pacem appellant. They make a desert and call it peace, but there is no peace. No peace in the desert.
All right, you're crazy, but you're smart enough to eat. I see you cleaned up that plate.
I kept the books. I did the accounts. I wrote the letters. I paid the bills.
You're crazy in the head from the sun.
Let me keep your books, ma'am.
What are you saying?
Let me teach your children Latin and grammar and algebra. Oh, I don't want him to catch me. He'll hunt me down.
Who? Who's going to hunt you down?
He has a whip. He holds a whip in one hand and a chain in the other. Save me. Save me from him. I'll make you rich, rich. There was a broiling sun and a freezing moon and a black whale drowning in a sea of desert sand. And then the sun set and the moon went down and the black whale suddenly became a black man. And he was lying on a pile of straw in a small, dark hut. And a white woman was standing there, looking down at him.
Well, boy, you look a lot better.
Yasm.
You sound a lot better, too. Where'd you learn how to talk like a Yankee gentleman?
Please, Missy, I don't mean no harm.
Yes, Henry. What do you want?
Miss Jenny, ma'am, a gentleman to see you up to the house.
To see me? What about?
It's Mr. McClure, ma'am.
Oh, Mr. McClure. So you're running away from Mr. McClure?
Yes, ma'am.
I knew you was a runaway. I knew it.
Please, ma'am, don't give me up to Mr. McClure.
And why shouldn't I?
Please. Please, I'll die. Hide me. I'm not just an ordinary field hand. I'll work for you the way I did for Colonel Borders. Don't turn me over to Mr. McClure.
Did Mr. McClure pay for you? Well?
Yes, ma'am.
Then he's your master. And it's my duty as a law-abiding woman, as a religious woman, to return you to your legal, rightful owner.
You call yourself a law-abiding religious woman. But what laws do you follow? What religion do you obey? Who gives you the right to treat me like an animal? Look at me. Look at me.
You ignorant, arrogant woman. I'm a man. I'm a man like your husband, like your father, like your son. I have the same heart, the same blood, the same soul.
Henry, shut his mouth.
Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me.
I said shut his blasphemous mouth. Henry, don't you dare let him leave this hut.
Henry.
No, I knows what you're going to ask me. Just do that, so...
I've got to escape.
Miss Janice, give me life.
You'll kill me. Mr. McClure will kill me.
You better off dead. We're all better off dead.
No, we're better off free.
Don't you worry none about it, boy. You'll be free soon enough.
Mr. McClure.
Morning, Miss Thompson. Got to run down a young buck. Lost him about a week ago. Kind of tall. No fat on him, but good muscles. Trailed him up into this vicinity. Was wondering if you might have seen him.
A runaway? No. I haven't heard anything.
Well, I'm much obliged to you, Miss Thompson.
I hope you find him.
Oh, I'll find him. I have to spend every penny I got in the rest of my life. I'll find him.
I ought to have you hanged. Better, burned as a witch.
Why do you say that, ma'am? Why?
Because you bewitched me. You have a strange power. Somehow, you prevented me from telling Mr. McClure you're here on my property. What did you do to me?
I did nothing.
I was ready to tell him you were being kept here. And the words refused to come out. You cast a spell on me.
No. You say you're a law-abiding woman. A religious woman.
And I've been one all my life until today.
That's why you saved me from slavery. It's true. Something said to you, save him. Deliver him from slavery.
Oh... Whatever, however, that's what I done. Well, now you're free. Get going.
What did you say?
You're free. Go.
Go? Where?
Go to your freedom. Go on, get.
No, don't. Don't make me go out there. Not into that desert.
You want to be free, don't you?
Let me stay here with you. I'll make you rich.
Oh, shut up. Henry, he can still help you in the fields. We'll keep him.
Please believe me, ma'am.
Get him another shirt and a hat and set him to plowing.
Yes, Miss Jenny, ma'am.
And you mind Henry now.
What's your name?
Jim.
Is you saying the truth, Jim? Can you read and write? Do you know all them other things?
Yes, it's the truth.
Then go away. Go away from here.
What are you talking about?
You gotta go to freedom.
Freedom? What do you know about it?
I know it's one thing. You free now. Yeah, free. You ain't in the dark like all the rest of us. You read, you write, you can make things. You can talk. You can't stay here, die here for nothing.
I don't want to go. I'm afraid.
And what good are you? Go, be somebody, get.
No, not now. Mr. McClure's out there.
Mr. McClure, always be out there. Look, I'll get a bag with meat and bread and water and a horse.
Come with me, Henry.
No. I'm free. Not yet. Maybe never. But you get.
I need more than food and water and a horse for my freedom, Henry. I'll need that rifle.
It was a wild, arid wilderness. And I didn't know where it ended, but I knew that I must keep going north. I was no longer running to freedom. I had freedom. I was a free man seeking a free people. I was busy with my thoughts, so I didn't see him there waiting, sitting on his horse with the gun in his hand until I was almost upon him.
All right, boy. Drop that horse because I'm going to whip you to within 1/2 inch of your life.
You're not going to whip anybody.
Get off the horse.
No.
No. I warn you, don't you reach for that rifle, boy. You hear me?
I heard you.
I can pull this trigger before you could even level that gun.
You can, but you won't.
Don't try me.
What good am I to you dead?
Take your hands off that rifle. I'll blow your head off.
You won't blow the head off of $750.
Drop your rifle.
You better shoot me now, quick, while you still have the chance. You can't do it. You just can't believe I dare to kill you.
And you won't. You know you'll be hunted down like an animal.
But I am an animal. You can't believe what you're seeing. A black man who dares to point a gun at you.
Nah, you ain't stupid. You know you can't get away.
But it has to begin. Somewhere, sometime, with somebody.
Just put the gun away. You're only making it worse.
No.
Get off that horse.
Move aside.
Oh.
Goodbye to you, Mr. McClure. It had to begin somewhere, sometime, with somebody.
And where Jim went, and whether or not he survived the hardships and the dangers of the wilderness, must remain a mystery. And we tell this story during these times when our minds are concerned with the birth of freedom in our country, to take the measure of how far we have come. And perhaps to consider how far we have yet to go. I shall be back in a few moments.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards, or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
The whale swims endlessly, the prisoner of the sea. But how many millions of whales there must be in our midst, in our own world? For there are other cruel seas that act as a prison. Ignorance is a sea, and poverty is a sea, and superstition is a sea, and hatred is a sea. And until a way is found for all men to emerge from these cruel seas, all of us are in danger of drowning. Our cast included Brock Peters, Brett Morrison, Lynn Hamilton, Marvin Miller, and Ken Lynch. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
There's a copy of the National Intelligencer right there on the sideboard.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Oh, I'm embarrassed, but not having met you in person last night, your name has escaped me.
Oh, well, Lord knows it's not that special. Anyone should remember it. I'm a widow lady named Mary Surratt. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get your food.
Surratt! Mac, get the paper.
Sure.
What date is it?
Let me see. April 13th, 1865. That makes today the 14th. But what? Oh, my God.
April 14th. The day John Wilkes Booth assassinated President Lincoln at Ford's Theater.
And we're in Mary Surratt's boarding house, the spot where the whole plot was hatched.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The Ford administration remains deadlocked with Congress over disclosure of the details on the agreement in the Middle East. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Many congressmen have been saying they will not vote to approve a critical part of the accords, the use of American technicians in the Sinai, until all documents on the agreements are made public. Secretary of State Kissinger met Thursday night to discuss the issue with members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. One member, Democrat Frank Church, said there are 200 Americans slated to be sent to the region, and before that takes place, the Senate should know what's in the whole package. Secretary Kissinger says he does not argue that the agreement should be put before the people, but still unsolved is the manner and form in which this is to be done. More news in a moment.
Every dog loves to chew, loves to sink his teeth into Hart's Chews from Hart's. What a treat, what a prize. Dogs of every shape and size love Hart's Chews from Hart's.
There's a huge selection of Hart's Chews for your dog. Rawhide bones, chew sticks, and chew toys, too. So satisfy his urge to chew. Get Hart's Chews now.
Won't splinter like real bones do. Good chewing through and through. Get Hart's Chews. Hart's Chews from Hart's.
It'll be a thriller, a chiller, and a killer when I meet the gorilla in Manila.
Muhammad Ali with a poetic pronouncement about his upcoming title fight with Joe Frazier in Manila on the 30th. I'm Ed Ingalls, and I'll be there in the Philippines with reports for Sports Central USA beginning this weekend, plus Sports World Roundup, Worldwide Sports, and Phil Rizzuto on Sports right up till the fight Tuesday, September 30th. So listen for Ali Frazier coverage from Manila here on the CBS Radio Network. Congress and the Ford administration have apparently worked out a temporary truce in their battle over oil price controls. Under the plan, oil price controls will be restored until November 15th. During that time, Congress and the administration will continue their effort to come up with a compromise long-range energy plan. A congressional staff report released on Thursday says higher prices for petroleum products have not increased production. The finding disputes the theory of the Ford administration that higher prices would stimulate production. Testimony was given Thursday saying that corruption is rampant among the inspectors who check American grain for export. Details reported by Leslie Stahl in Washington.
Fraud, corruption, and bribery are all pervasive in the grain inspection business. That was the testimony of Gerald Gallinghouse, the U.S. attorney in New Orleans, who has so far brought down 52 indictments and says substantially more are imminent. One of those indicted for accepting a bribe was grain inspector Clarence Baker. He testified that he falsified reports about the grades and weights of grain shipped out of New Orleans. He was asked how he was paid off.
And you received a case of whiskey or a $100 or an air conditioner, the company itself might realize $300,000 or $400,000. So I would have to say that the grain companies were the beneficiaries.
Earlier, Gallinghouse said that his investigation is aimed at the higher-ups, that is, grain and shipping company owners, and that there's new evidence that some officials in the Department of Agriculture may have had knowledge of and covered up the scandal. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, Washington.
Bob Considine, for many years, one of America's best-known newspaper columnists, died Thursday night in New York at the age of 68. His column, which he called On the Line, appeared regularly in many of the nation's leading newspapers. One of those who knew Considine well was New York restaurateur Tutch Schur, who had this to say.
He's the finest, most decent, honest man I've ever known in life. Without any contest or in the man in the world who's ever known him or met him or anything, he's just so good he's going to sit right beside God.
Tutch Schur, who says he had known the late Bob Considine since 1937. Now this.
Are you, as a woman, reevaluating your identity? Dr. Margaret Mead comments on a woman's identity.
Women today are caught in the demand that they reassess their whole identity. If they bring up those children that they've taken responsibility for, will there then be time enough to enter the world again in some new way? And at the same time, young girls are faced today with all the pressures against having children. They look at their own mothers, who very often were quite contented to be wives and mothers, so that their role models are very mixed. I think the only way out of this is to realize that we are moving into a period of choice when women can begin to choose what they want to do.
When you face choices, realize your God-given potential. This affirmation of women by the Mennonite churches.
Two tropical storms in the Atlantic have been upgraded to hurricanes. Both are heading west toward Bermuda. Residents of the island have been advised to keep in touch with local weather advisories. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says on their present course, the storms could hit the eastern seaboard of the United States 3 to 5 days from now. Federal Reserve Board Chairman Arthur Burns has urged Congress not to extend the $9 billion personal income tax cuts enacted this past spring. Burns says further government efforts to stimulate the economy would result in more inflation and another recession in a couple of years. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.